the latest trends, the newest equipment, and the top names from our area and beyond.
The South Shore's only golf show on the radio.
This is Coley Belts Golf Live.
It's in the hole.
Here's Liza Churchill.
Welcome to Goldie Bounce Golf. I'm your host, Liza Churchill, coming to you live from 959 WATD, the South Shore's favorite radio station. First off, I'd like to introduce my caddy for the evening, PGA teaching professional Mike Gibson. Welcome, Mike.
Happy to be here on another, seems like another rainy day.
I know, we always bring the great weather here during my show, don't we? There was a couple blizzards and
2 feet of snow.
Did you happen to catch any of the Sony Open in Honolulu the past couple days?
I did. I'd love to go there. Now, it's an interesting tour event because it's really the first event because the full field. Yeah, last week was just the top 28 or the 28 winners. So it was a pretty good event. They had really good weather, which is nice. And the greens there are like lightning, but it looked like the course was a little bit in rough shape, but you couldn't tell by the play. They were doing great.
Yeah, now what do you think of Robert Allenby's new claw grip that he's using to putt with?
I think anything that gets the ball in the hole is good. What's amazing about him right now is that he sprained his ankle. I didn't say how he did it, unless I missed that. But he's been walking around. I mean, he barely made it around. He said he's swinging with a half swing, but he has it wrapped today. So it looks like he's hanging in there. I only watched the first couple holes because of the time difference. But the claw grip, good for him.
And Steve Stricker, one of my favorite players, he's finished up tied for third. I met him at Deutsche Bank. He's a really nice guy, one of the nicest guys on tour.
Yeah, he is a very nice guy. And he's, it's funny to see what guys show up with at the beginning of the year, because November, December typically is the scramble for the new equipment, sponsors and clothing and shoes and stuff. And it's good to see guys come back with the same stuff that worked last year. And Steve, he stuck with his equipment.
Ricky Fowler didn't make the cut, which, that's one of his first events, and hopefully he'll...
So what's the deal about you and Ricky Fowler? You have the crush on Ricky?
I have a crush on Puma Golf products.
Yeah, they have a great golf line. That's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing stuff.
This spring.
I noticed Jeff Ogilvy last week is donning a pair of FootJoys all of a sudden. So he's not in his Pumas anymore.
Well, they had I don't know if it was an issue, but apparently Puma wants to focus on Ricky Fowler, and so
can't blame them.
Well, I don't know.
I'd love to get one of those painter caps or whatever you want to call those things. Those are really awesome.
They're just kind of like the punk golf company.
Yeah, they make great shoes. I mean, their shoe line is absolutely fantastic. So they have a lot of cool styles, and I guess they're really for the younger crowd, very hip stuff.
Yeah, I was at the Puma Open Boston at the Pine Hills last summer. It was really trendy. I felt like I walked into a fashion show.
You also did some Puma stuff with the sailing team, also. Right?
Yeah, the Volvo Ocean Race. My friend Kenny Reed was the skipper. They finished up second. So yeah. A year-long race around the world. It was amazing.
That was cool.
So next week, PGA Tour West Coast Swing with the Bob Hope Classic.
Well, I love it when they go to California in the desert. That's my favorite time of year. So,
my very special guest this evening is New England golfing legend, Charlie Valpone. Welcome, Charlie.
Oh, thank you.
That's him laughing, by the way, and we're not laughing at him. He's like he's like the godfather. No one laughs at Charlie.
Now, we need to establish your credibility as a New England golfing legend. Now, how long have you been playing golf competitively?
Actually, remember, this is only a half-hour show, Charlie.
Only about 61 years.
61 years, and you've won, five state opens in, every New England state. Anything, any award you can win.
Never won in Connecticut.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
They didn't allow us to play.
No, I can see why. You won the 1956 Mass Am?
Yes.
Yeah,
we weren't even born yet.
Oh, well, that was the last century.
That's right. That's funny.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that.
That's crazy. But that was a good segue, though. I mean, you came right out, and as a young golfer, and you did very, very well. And I started looking at some of the names. I mean, doing a little research and going back and see who won those events. And even going into when you won the Opens, it's unbelievable.
And I meant to ask you, did you know Ernie Doherty from, is it Woburn where he was, or Framingham?
He was from Woburn. He was pro at Framingham, and he bought Cape Cod Country Club.
Yeah, because I used to work there for the Friel Company.
Yes.
So Ernie used to come by every day.
Ernie was a wonderful guy.
Wonderful.
And a great golfer.
Yes.
And he was not a big guy either.
No, he wasn't. His wife was very tall, Charlotte.
The interesting thing about Charlie, when you look at him, he's very kind looking.
Well-pone.
you know, he's very soft-spoken and everything, but you get him on a golf course, you know, kick your butt. It's like, he's fearless out there, which is, it just shows how intense the sport can be. You know, when you're in yourself, now you can probably attest to a lot of that stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
you have to, you know, when you're playing, you have to, you know, be fierce in your concentration, and you have to work hard.
You do. Now you practiced a lot, didn't you?
I was up at 5 a.m. practicing when I was the head pro at Neshawtuk, and I'd practice from 5 to 8 and go to work. And I always felt that gave me an advantage over everybody, because I knew a lot of guys didn't get up at that time and go out and do it. So, but I had goals I had to reach, and I worked on them, and they helped me be successful around here.
Yeah, you've done a really good job with that. And what I wanted to also add to the piece was, you never really stopped playing. I mean, you continually played, and you played events all over the Northeast, is no question. And how many mass opens did you play in?
God, I was thinking about that a while ago. Probably somewhere around 30.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
30. And did you win? You've won 3 mass opens?
2 mass
opens.
2,
all right.
Yeah.
Back-to-back, 71, 72.
Yes.
Yeah, those are great. Now, was there any event that stood out as the best event you've ever won?
No, not really. you have to think of your first one, and my first one was probably the most important event was 1953. I won the CYO, and as a junior, I was not one of the better players, and it was funny that there were all these guys that were so much better than me, and then when we got to the state open, or the state amateur, I ended up winning the thing, and guys that I thought were great players were getting beat badly and so on, and I was medalist and winner.
That's awesome. That has to be a good memory. For anybody that actually wanted to call in and had a question for Charlie, you can call 781-837-4900. That's 781-837-4900. Anybody has a question or
just say hi.
Or just give him a golf tip. He's not done playing yet. You know, he still has plenty of golf ahead of him.
Now, Mike, did you get any email questions this week about...
I did, actually, and I waited till we introduced Charlie to kind of bring it in. You know, I thank you all for your emails. You can either send an email question to goldiebouncegolf@gmail.com or mgibson@harmongolf.com and be happy to air them on live on the radio. I get a couple, and Charlie over the years has given me a lot of business. You know, when he usually brings somebody in, or he doesn't just refer them in, he hand delivers them to me, which has been good, you know, whether it's a lesson or a fitting or something with equipment. So I'm going to ask him an equipment question, because one of the things we find out is that this is when everybody starts to look at and bringing new stuff in. Here was one of the questions. I'm interested in getting started in golf. What's the first step, a lesson or a fitting? And there's no real clean answer to that. But my first impression when I see the question is you definitely want to consult a professional and let them kind of lead you down the road. And what did you do first, Charlie? How did you get your first set of golf equipment?
Oh, mine were hand-me-downs with all kinds of shafts, and just different people gave me clubs. And the first tournament that I played in, it was it was a mishmash of golf clubs.
Did you take golf lessons at that time?
No. In fact, my first tournament, I think, was my 4th round of my life. And, you know, it's a funny story about that. I played with a guy named Jackie O'Leary. And Jackie was about 18 and I was 11. And we were playing Merrimack Valley. And the first 5 holes, I was beating him by 1 shot. And I thought that was pretty good. The scores at the end of 18, he shot 78 and I shot 139. But when I went home, all I thought of was, I had that great player down by 1 after 5 holes. You know, maybe I can do better.
So you got the bug.
I got the bug.
You definitely got the bug. So one of the things we look at, though, to kind of answer the question as well, is that sometimes it really doesn't matter about the equipment. A lot of it has to do with determination and will and a desire and the heart to go out and do stuff. Now, he got trounced, but never ever looked back as a bad moment. He's smiling when he's telling the story. It's a beautiful thing. And look what you've done. You've accomplished a lot.
Now, didn't you start out as a caddy?
I did.
How did you start playing? You just...
Actually, one day there was no baseball on Monday. That was my day off. So I went out and played with the guys, and I didn't like it. I really didn't like golf. I love baseball. And you know, I was caddying for the pro about a month later, and John McDonald, who is a wonderful man, and John said, "How come you don't play with the kids?" And I said, "Well, you know, I play baseball on my day off." And he said, "Oh, you got to come play with the kids tomorrow." So I went out and I played with him and two other kids for 9 holes, and that got me going. And he said, "Hey, next week we got a tournament up at Merrimack Valley in Methuen. You got to go." And that's when I went, and I shot my 139.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, where did you caddy?
I caddied at Old Newbury Golf Club in Newburyport, Byfield, Mass.
And you've been a pro for how many years now?
Well, I
not to rub that in by any means, but just so folks can kind of get an idea how big your career is in our wonderful New England states.
Well, I actually turned pro in 60. In 62, I got an assistant's job down in Long Island, and I was a pro until 1980. 1980, I played in the PGA. That was my last PGA championship, and then I turned amateur. And it took me 2 years to get my amateur standing. And then back in 1999, I was mowing my lawn one day, and one of my junior golfers came by and said, "Hey, you, I want to thank you for what you did for us kids at Neshawtuck." And I said, "What did I do for you guys?" He said, "You taught us how to love and respect the game of golf." I said, "Well, that's the nicest thing anybody can say." He said, "Every day that I play golf, I say, thank you, God, for Charlie Volkov."
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So I came back as a pro.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
All right, well, now we have a word from our sponsor, Bayside Realty Consultants.
Whether you're retiring to Cape Cod or just buying a second home, and whether golf is in your plans or not, introduce yourself to a Bayside Realty Consultant in East Dennis. It's easy to be confused by all the choices that avail you to Cape Cod. You already know that location, location, location is the most important thing, but there are some other major concerns to be aware of besides deciding on a house. Do you want a condo or a lot to build that dream house? The hidden issues must be brought to your attention, and your friends at Bayside Realty Consultants can help. Taxes are crucial to your fixed costs and should be factored into your monthly payment. Mortgages, where to get that mortgage, and the proper terms and conditions are extremely important, as well as resale value of your property. Bayside Realty Consultants can help you with all of this. Get these issues solved. Save time and money with a first-class professional service-oriented real estate firm. That's Bayside Realty Consultants. They've been involved with property and the building industry for many years. Their experience and knowledge of the Cape Cod market is an extremely valuable asset to have working for you in your search for a home or investment property. Let them do all the work. Bayside Realty Consultants look forward to building a marketing and sales plan specifically to reach your goals. Call 508-385-7777 or find them on the web at BaysideRealtyConsultants.com.
Once again, you're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf on 95.9 WATD, the South Shore's favorite radio station. I'm your host, Liza Churchill. My guest this evening is New England golfing legend Charlie Volpone. Feel free to call in during the show at 781-837-4900 to chat with Charlie or to ask any questions about your golf game. Charlie, would you like to say hello to anyone?
Sure, I'd like to say hello to Emily and Lucas, who are out in Seattle, and I think they're listening to this program.
Oh, listening,
yes,
live on the web.
My daughter Emily and my youngest grandson.
Oh, wow. Well, hello, you guys.
How old is the youngest grandson?
He's 30 months.
Wow, how many grandchildren do you have?
Only 11.
Oh,
only? Wow.
Wow,
you got a lot of work. They got a lot of work to do. Tell them to get busy for crying out loud.
I've got four in Scituate.
Oh, right here locally. Yeah. And you live in Hingham, right?
I do.
All right. Do you ever play at the Boston Golf Club?
No.
No. All right. You attended Boston College. You were inducted into the Boston College Hall of Fame. Can you tell me about that?
Well, somebody thought I was good enough to to get in there, and a good friend, Bob Griffin, who was with Eastern Bank, sponsored me, and it was fun to get in. I was the first one in my class to get into the Hall of Fame at BC.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. You've also part of another Hall of Fame, I'm sure, and you want to tell us about that as well?
Yes, I'm in the New England PGA Hall of Fame, and Paul Parajakis was the guy that pushed that, and you all know Paul. He's a great player, and you know, it was funny, this year I called him and I said, hey, you're doing things in reverse. You're supposed to win the New England PGA first and then the seniors second. Well, he won about four seniors before he won the New England PGA. Yeah.
Yes, he said it took him about 35 years to win that that championship. In August, he won.
Well, it's not easy. I mean, the competition, there's a lot of players.
Amazing.
I mean, when you look at the two sections back-to-back here, you got the, obviously, New England section and the Mets section, and down in New York area, some of the top players in the nation come out of those two sections. So there's a lot of great competition. There's no wonder it took him so long to win it.
Yeah.
Now, Paul Parajakis has his invention, the stretch towel. Have you ever played with that, Charlie?
I have.
Or used it when you were playing?
I do not use a stretch towel playing golf because I value it too much. I use it at home.
Oh, when you
and,
wake up.
And I'm afraid I'd lose it. You know, you get a towel that you really like.
Yeah.
It's really a wonderful towel. And, you know, I stretch in the morning. I use that. And,
yeah.
I think mine is being held hostage right now. I'm waiting for the letter to come in. I miss it dearly.
You can go online. The website is amazing.
I know I'm stubborn,
it's
but you're right.
Endorsed by Dana Quigley.
There's a lot of guys. A lot of guys are using it. When he introduced it to us, I mean, we were at a PGA seminar, and he throws himself right down on the ground with his towel and starts stretching. And you know, I thought he was having a seizure at first. I go running over to him, and he's just stretching. You know, just doing his normal thing.
For his age, he's in amazing shape.
He's what? He's
Paul Parajakis.
He's about
61.
He's 61?
Well, he said he's about to be 61.
He's 61. He's got a body of a 20-year-old.
He's amazing shape.
Yeah, he's in shape.
He's unbelievable. And he's an amazing guy besides all of that. He's a master carpenter.
Yeah, I guess he does hobby with wood.
Unbelievable.
He makes little pieces out of big pieces, he said.
Okay, we're going to get back to you, Charlie, what you're amazing at, all right? What did you like most about your job as a golf professional when you were like a head pro at a club? What about that job did you like the best?
I like promoting the game the best. You know, I played a lot with the members, but the thing was promoting the game, making it fun. And, you know, I play golf now. We've got to laugh all the time around the golf course. We kid each other and so on, and everything is done after the shot is hit. And one of my rules when we play with my friends is, once the ball's in the air, anything goes. And you can talk to the ball, you can do anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, my pro at Concord one day said to me one day, he said, you know, Chaz, if everybody played like you guys, this would be a wonderful world because we're always having fun.
I agree.
Well, for the reputation that you have, Charlie, for being this like wolf in sheep's clothing out there on the course, you seem pretty laid back. I can't imagine that you're such a competitor. Does your personality just change when you're in that mode? Or?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, you get to, if you're a competitor, you have to be a hammer. You know,
right.
You know, somebody
that's
got
question.
A little hammer. And I played in the final round of the Dow Jones, and I think it was 1972 with Arnold Palmer, and there was a guy who was one of the tour officials who was telling me I belonged on the tour. And the day that I played with Arnold, I beat him. And there were about 20,000 people following us. And this guy came in the locker room afterwards and he said, see, I know you should have been on the tour. Anybody that plays with Palmer, if they're a faker, they can't play. He said, I watched you. He said, and you had that thing. You were just in control of everything. You can play with anybody. And so, you know, that's
pretty amazing. And I know, and you also have a great story about Eddie Lowry, who was a caddy for Francis we met.
Yes.
You want to share that
well,
with us?
I'll give you two.
All right.
I opened with three other people, Bobby Jones III, Fred Wright, and Ted Bishop. I played the first round at the open course at the country club. And I have a picture at home that shows that Francis we met was there following us for 18 holes. I played in the Hawaiian Open, which is the same golf course that they played on today. And I played with Roberto Bernardini the first two rounds. His sponsor was Eddie Lowry. And Eddie grabbed me after the second round, I made the cut, and he said, you report to me, you turn in your card, report to me on the putting green, expect to be there 2 hours. And he gave me a golf lesson. The next day I putted well and played lousy.
Maybe Eddie wanted his Roberto to win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there might have been an agenda.
He didn't make it. Yeah, that's right.
Now, do you like to gamble? You know, a lot of the golfers that are really good at competing like to gamble, too.
I have gambled for more than $20 Nassau, say, two or three times in my life. And I don't believe in gambling. I like to have a bet, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And because
like a gentleman's bet.
Well, I don't play gentlemanly.
It's coming out.
See,
it's coming
out.
Yeah, it didn't take long.
when we have to pay out, one guy will put a dollar bill out there, and the other one will try to get it, and we laugh a lot.
Do you play liar's poker?
No.
Oh, I never liked that game. Do you like that game,
no,
baby?
I'm not a good liar.
Like
people can read me, like, you know, I'm pretty open, so.
Charlie, was there any tournament that you may have played in and you never thought you'd win? And then, like, lo and behold, you did? And I know you were talking about earlier in the interview how you won your first tournament you had no idea about. Was there any others as your career progressed?
Well, I can change that a little. I played in tournaments where if I got a bounce or so on, I knew that somebody up there was helping me and I was going to win. Yeah. It's a crazy thing, but yep. You know, one year I was in the Vermont Open and got to the 18th hole. I had a 2-stroke lead, very narrow. I took my driver out because I knew I was going to win the tournament, and I hit a car and came back in bounce.
Wow.
And that's what I was told. Now, I don't know if it did actually do that, but...
It was in play, just to say.
It was in play, yes.
Yeah.
I've heard that over the years you are a big contributor, time and effort, into a lot of charity golf tournaments around the area. Can you tell me about some of those?
I like to help. My daughter, Esther, lives in Scituate, and she runs a race for the Jimmy Fund. My grandson, Josh... at 10 months old, had some problems, and he was in the Dana-Farber, not the Children's Hospital. And so that, along with Granite City Electric, to run golf tournaments to raise money there.
Right.
And any time you get a chance, that's what you want to do.
Well, it just goes to show that, and this is your reputation, that you give a lot. But he never asked for anything back. He never, ever asked for anything. You know, like I said earlier, he gives me all this business over the years and has never really asked me for anything. And I respect that more than you would ever know.
Well, I'm interested in the people getting what they need. You know, I mean, that's the most important thing. That's why I bring them there. They're my friends.
Yeah.
I don't send my enemies to you.
Thank you. You're welcome to, though, by the way.
This is probably a really weird question, but, you know, being a golf pro and competing a lot, was your wife a golf widow?
No.
Back in the day?
Well, she was a golf widow, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes there's degrees to that.
The crazy thing is, we had to work Tuesday through Saturday, through Sunday, and Monday was my day off. And that was where tournaments.
Right.
And so during the summer, there was never a day off unless it poured. And, you know, I always looked forward to the Vermont Open. I never figured I could do anything in it because I knew I'd be just too tired. Because you start out in April and you don't have any days off. You get up to the Vermont Open and you're there in a relaxed thing. I don't know how I won that thing twice, but...
Good play. Really good play is what won it. No question. It's nice up there, too, isn't it, Vermont?
It's very relaxing, Lake Maury. It really is.
Did you ever play in, what's that, the golf course up there where they have the senior event? The NEPGA still does some events up there. Woodstock. You ever play that at all?
Well, I finished second to Paul Perajakis about 5 years ago. I shot 67 on my 67th. When I was 67,
wow!
I shot 67-70 and finished second. About 8 shots behind him, or 9.
Yeah.
He had a hell of a golf tournament.
That's beautiful up there, too. Very difficult golf course.
Very,
really tricky golf balls.
You got to hit it in the right spots.
Right.
What's your favorite part of competing in golf? Like when you're out there on the course, what's your favorite part of the day?
Oh... I, you know,
the camaraderie, or
the cart gal that brings the sandwiches and
do
stuff around.
Do they do
around?
That during a competition?
No.
No. No.
The rules officials.
No, I just, it's just great to be out there. You know, you get on the first tee, your body tells you, let's go.
Like a racehorse.
Yeah. It's your concentration just gets on that. And until the 18th hole, you hope it stays that way.
All right. Well, looks like we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming on, Charlie. It was great to hear all about your legendary battles, and you can come back anytime. Don't forget for a behind-the-scenes look at the production of the Goldie Bounce Golf Show, check out my blog at goldiebouncegolf.com. If you have any questions about the state of your golf game, industry insider tips, or feedback, shoot us an email at goldiebouncegolf@gmail.com, and we'll try to answer your questions on the air.
Thank you, Charlie, for coming. Liza, good show.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Good night.
Be sure to join Liza every Sunday night at 7 for Goldie Bounce Golf Live, heard exclusively on 95.9 WATD.